This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network, DraftKings. We welcome you back Tuesday, 25 of June. We had the NHL season wrap up with a great Game 7 last night. As we welcome you back, of course, Dustin Sweetelson, downtown Las Vegas at the D's, hanging out with his podcast partner, VSiN's managing editor, Adam Burke. I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you back. We're going to get into the guide, a lot of blood, sweat, and energy on your part and your team's part putting together the NFL guide, which drops on the 27th, so just 2 days from now. We'll get to that in just a second. But as we say hi to Adam Burke, we should ask about the Game 7 last night. It was a thriller. What did you take from it?
Yeah, it was. What's up, boys? Good to see you again here. Trying to bring the vibes with the shirt again. The MLB article did a little bit better here since I last spoke to you guys. Not that much
better. You went 3-0.
But a little bit. Well, on the show I did, yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I should have had more picks for today and just played things I wasn't totally sure about. But, yeah, I mean, as far as last night goes, I mean, phenomenal game to be sure. Although Florida just in hang on and survive mode for basically the last 8-9 minutes of that game. And they were actually able to do it. Bobrovsky was really, really good last night. And, you know, I thought Paul Maurice – an incredible interview, multiple junctures after the game on Sportsnet, on ESPN, in his press conference. Good for him to get the Stanley Cup. Really, really happy for Kyle Okposo as well. I'm a Sabres fan. Guy went through a lot when he was playing with Buffalo, a lot of mental health issues. So really happy that Okposo was able to get his Stanley Cup. Also, they got it right with the MVP. Connor McDavid should have been the MVP. No questions asked. It's an award for the playoff MVP. And he was the best player in the playoffs. Did he score in Game 6 or Game 7? No, he didn't, but he's the reason why Edmonton got there. So I liked Florida for the series. It took longer than I thought, but they were able to hold on and win it, and McDavid was the right call for Conn Smythe.
Yeah, you said it. I think the Maurice after the Cup, and Maurice got started, what was he, 28 years old when he started coaching the Hartford Whalers at the time, so kind of a prodigy, but jumped from team to team. I would put his post-game comments right up there with any I've seen from any coach after winning a championship in any sport. He was as genuine and as awesome with the quotes. He's always been a great quote, but yesterday was very special.
Yeah, I thought it was super cool when he looked into the camera, and this was on his Sportsnet interview, you know, back to his family in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, and, you know, told his dad, hey, Dad, you know, your name is on the Stanley Cup now next to your heroes, and rattles off his players. And frankly, even getting a little bit choked up talking about it. I never met Paul Maurice, don't know his family, but it's just one of those moments that's like super cool for a guy who has put a lot of time and effort into the game. So, you know, you're always going to have some of those stories when a team wins a championship, but, you know, I thought there were a few guys on Florida's team last night it was pretty special for.
Yeah, it was awesome. We actually, you know what, big guy, if you want to pull up that clip again, just the one that Adam just referenced, I think it might be worth playing. Before we grab that, I didn't know you were a Sabres fan. What's the connection there?
Yeah, so when I was growing up in high school, you know, this was before the Blue Jackets had a team because the Jackets came in 2000. We had Adelphia Cable. So we got cable out of Western New York, and we wound up getting Buffalo Sabres games on the Empire Sports Network. And honestly, it's really weird because, you know, I would watch the pre- and post-game shows, and I learned a lot about hockey from watching Mike Robitaille and Brian Blessing. And then, of course, I get to work with Brian Blessing, you know, in my sports betting career, and, you know, a guy who passed away a few years ago but had a tremendous impact on my career but also in my fandom as, you know, a Buffalo Sabres fan. So it was kind of surreal to be able to work alongside him, but that's how I became a Sabres fan. I mean, they were my team growing up in high school, and because I'm a loyal idiot, I like to root for teams that come really close and don't actually win things. So it just makes sense to continue being a Buffalo Sabres fan.
So Alex McGillney, LaFontaine, Hasek, like who was your go-to guy back then?
Yeah, Hasek was definitely one. I mean, I was kind of in the Angry Goat Head era when they were wearing the red and black. So, you know, a lot of guys, Dmitry Kalinin type of guys, Aleš Kotelik. Stu Barnes, you know, in that kind of era
Stu
there.
Stu Barnes.
So, you know, I'm still a Sabres fan. I mean, obviously I don't watch them like I did growing up, but, you know, still keep a close eye on the team, and I think they'll be a playoff team next year. I just don't know how deep they'll actually go.
Some would say Dominik Hasek a Red Wing, but that would just be me because I'm an idiot.
To be fair, growing, like, in grade school, I was a Red Wings fan until I got Adelphia, and then I could watch the Sabres, so... You know, I went from kind of being something of a front runner in the 90s where they won a bunch of cups to being a Sabres fan where they haven't won one.
Also, you probably, a Red Wings fan, they were great during those two decades, but also just the greatest sweaters in sports. I mean, everybody would agree, right?
With the wheel. And I mean, look, it was, you know, an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes from Cleveland to Detroit. So, you know, eat at the Hockey Town Cafe there in downtown.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, I actually never got to go to a game at Joe Louis Arena, but definitely walked around it quite a few times.
So, wait, who, what's it? You're willing to support a Detroit team. I thought everyone in the all those cities hate each other. Like, what's the big rival? Like, is it Cincinnati and Cleveland? Is there another one?
I mean, we're talking about, like, you know, I would have been 8, 9, 10 years old at the time. So I wasn't fully understanding of why I was supposed to hate the state of Michigan. Now I can't stand it. So, you know, now I've kind of come full circle with that at least. But, I mean, like, the Red Wings, they were always on, right? And I was a kid who played hockey. I mean, whenever I created myself in NHL 98 or 97 or whatever, I was a creative player on the Red Wings. So, yeah, I mean, look, in terms of geography, proximity, viewability, you know, they were on all the time. So that was kind of the team that I had to go with.
Yeah, the Joe, which you referenced, Joe Louis Arena, which was one of the great barns, I used to go there, and you would actually have rats running around, like all over the place, rats, literal rats. So anyway, that's the Joe. Paul Maurice, Adam, you just referenced him, and this is a great hit with the Canadian network. Big guy, let's roll it.
Yeah, this was him winning the cup.
This is brilliant, right? I've never hugged so many sweaty men in my entire life. I'm not sure I'm going to do it again, but I'm going to do it tonight. So, you know what? It's not what I thought it would be. It's so much better, but it's the hugs, man. I saw Sam Bennett smile today, first time in 2 years. It's brilliant. You know, it's for my mom and dad in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, my brothers Mike and Shane in Sault Ste. Marie and Waterloo, the whole Langlois clan in LaSalle, Ontario, all of the people that suffered through 30 years of me losing, making excuses, mom and dad especially. Hey, Dad, your name's going up with your heroes. Beliveau, Richard, Howe, Lindsay, Maurice.
What a freaking clip. He is such composure as well. My gosh, that's a tremendous clip. Good job by everybody.
I still don't understand. Right. I don't understand how you process something so big in the moment and then explain it so well in the moment. I don't know.
Yeah, very well done. I enjoyed that. So, coming up on Thursday, we've got a very special day here on VSiN, and we're going to have all football all day experts, including Adam Burke and picks, and it's all going to be tied to the guide. So let's start with the flowers. Congratulations. I know this is a process that we couldn't even imagine. Let's talk about putting the guide together, Adam.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but, you know, I mean, this is a signature publication for us here at VSiN. It's one of our main drivers in terms of becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber, which I encourage everybody to do. Not only do you get this NFL guide that comes out on Thursday, but you also get all kinds of picks, access to the DraftKings betting splits, everything that we do for as long as you want to hang around. There are monthly options, there are annual options to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. But this guide specifically, I mean, everybody has a hand in it, basically. You know, all of our hosts submit their favorite best bets. Our writers obviously have a big hand in it. Our editors, Michael Dolan, Mike Sansoni, my right-hand man, Zachary Cohen, our guide editor, Matt Devine, James Coleman, who creates all of our graphic stuff a lot of our graphic stuff and marketing stuff here. A lot of people, a lot of responsibilities, a lot of roles, but everybody comes together because we care about the product that we're putting out. This is a very important publication for us, and I think we did one hell of a job with it. It's not completely done just yet, but it will be by Wednesday night, Thursday morning. Looking forward to seeing that finished product. But yeah, I just got to give a shout-out to my team that everybody did such a great job putting this thing together. And no rest for the wicked because we got the college football betting guide coming out August 1st.
You're going to deflect and give everyone else credit. But if I'm not mistaken, putting this out in the spring was your idea a year ago, and it went so well that we have to do it again.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, you know, I think it's important, right, to be able to hit some of these preseason markets. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that you can bet on already. And, you know, the time that we were previously putting the guide out, it would be training camp. You know, a lot of these markets would be moving. A lot of people would already be finding out a lot of things about these teams or remembering who went where or whatever else. So we thought it was really important for us to not only have something for our subscribers to have over the summer and also get people to find out what VSiN's all about before we get into the football season, but especially to be able to attack these off-season markets where there's a lot of stuff you can bet on, boys. Win totals, all the lines are out at DraftKings for every week of the season. You've got awards markets that are worth jumping into. So that was our primary goal. We wanted to make sure that we put something out in time for people to attack those markets, to remember, you know, who was signed in free agency, who was traded, who are the new head coaches, who are the new quarterbacks, all of that. And by doing so here this last week of June gives you a head start over a lot of our competitors and a lot of the places are going to be talking about these things.
How does this year's guide differ, if at all, from last year's guide?
Yeah, I mean, I think every year, you know, we get a little bit better with it. We figure out, you know, in terms of looking at traffic, in terms of looking at user behavior, in terms of feedback from our subscribers, you know, what are the things that we need to incorporate a little bit more of? And I mentioned this before, you know, we're going to focus more on prop betting for this upcoming NFL season as a whole. But Matt Williams, a new contributor to VSiN.com, he's got a piece in there about his favorite prop betting strategies. And, you know, look, I mean, I think that we really – what we wanted to do with this guide is really allow people to, again, figure out who's gone where and what the expectations are going to be. So I think it is a little bit more predictive. It is a little bit more data-heavy. It is going to be something that is going to show you teams that are in line for maybe some positive or negative regression. I think just some of the themes that we're paying more attention to this season are going to have a lot more impact on handicapping these markets.
Well, congratulations to you and the whole team. You got to become a VSiN Pro if you want to grab the NFL guide, which is dropping in 2 days, this Thursday, the 27th. So to do so, go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. And as Adam mentioned, we're coming out early with our college football betting guide, which is going to be, what'd you say, August 1st?
August 1st.
Woo. Woo. A lot of work over the month of July. Adam Burke, we continue, of course, Double Play is the podcast with Adam and Dustin. We'll come back and talk a little baseball. Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the Esports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, of course, NFL training camps less than a month, so the VSiN experts have been hard at work to get you ready for the upcoming NFL season. Our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide drops this Thursday. It's packed with everything you need to dominate the NFL season. We've got in-depth profiles on every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends that you're not going to find anywhere else, but that's not all. Our experts have weighed in with their best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. So whether you're a season bettor or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket for more informed bets. And we're going to celebrate. So we're going to have the release of the guide coming up this Thursday. VSiN is going all out and all in with our special coverage throughout the day. Tune in this Thursday for expert analysis, insider tips, and all the NFL insight you need to make this season the best. Remember, the only way to get our all-new NFL betting guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, we got you back. And the man responsible for kind of spearheading the NFL betting guide, Adam Burke, is here. VSiN.com's managing editor, sitting next to the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, at the D in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher. So Double Play as well is the podcast with the boys, wherever you download your podcast. And as you mentioned, Adam, the last time you were on, a sweep, you went 3-0. So there's no pressure this time around. Before we get into the bets, you guys, boys, just want to give an overview on what you're thinking baseball wise
for today, or for what we discussed on the most recent pod. I'd like to promote that because we got very distracted, as we tend to do when I'm leading the way. It's like I'm a squirrel and this is poor wording. I was saying, Berkey dropped some nuts on me. But yep, he dropped some nuts, and I have to go after them. Then we have to dissect them. So we went down a deep, I feel like, Pirates rabbit hole. We went down the Mets rabbit hole, the NL Central, the wild card. A lot of great stuff discussed there. We didn't even touch on the Orioles calling up Heston Kerstad again. Tons of great pitching happening in baseball right now. But to me, the number one thing in baseball is that National League wild card still. The fact that we're going to have a bad baseball team in the playoffs in some way, that the Mets have made a run here, but I don't think the Pirates, who are used to like crossing off our list at this point in the year, are absolutely in the mix with their pitching. And there's just the Washington Nationals are not going away. There's going to be a lot of fighting for that last playoff spot throughout the rest of the summer.
Yeah, I mean, there are two teams that are eliminated, right? Basically, Colorado and Miami. I mean, that's it. Everybody else is within, you know, striking distance. I mean, at least within three games of the wild card picture. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see, does this just become a war of attrition from an injury standpoint? You know, do you have teams that go out there and buy at the trade deadline that are able to, you know, really make some kind of impactful move? Because, look, the only teams out of it in the NL are Colorado and Miami. And, again, there's a month plus left until the trade deadline. But right now there are two clear-cut sellers among the National League teams, and neither one really has a whole lot that anybody wants. So I think it's going to be really fascinating to see who is actually available at the trade deadline, which teams are kind of more honest about their situations than others. So it's really, really fascinating. And honestly, I mean, to Dustin's point, like, yeah, there's going to be a bad team that makes it. Arizona was kind of a bad team last year. I mean, they had Zach Allen, but they were 84-78 with a negative run differential. And there they make it all the way to the World Series. So anything can happen in that tournament, but we are going to have probably two, maybe three bad teams that, you know, kind of, or at least lesser teams that get in there in terms of the wild card spots between both leagues.
Adam, the Mets are a game and a half out of the wild card, and so maybe I can get a unbiased analysis, because we've certainly gotten a bias analysis here on the program with the Mets. What do you think about this team?
The honest truth is I don't really know what to think about this team. I mean, I think they should probably be in a position where they're going to be a seller, but I don't know that Stephen Cohen is going to do that. Also, does Kodai Senga ever come back at any point in time this season? If so, that's a nice addition for them, assuming that he's able to come back and, you know, be 80-85% of what he was last year, where he was really, really good in his first season coming over from Japan. But, like, I don't want to believe in the Sean Manaeas and the Jose Quintanas of the world. Tyler McGill's got good stuff. He's never put it together. The bullpen is fine. But I don't know. I think they're a fine team. I think they're an average team. I think if they finished exactly 500, I wouldn't be surprised. But also, exactly 500 might be good enough to make the playoffs in the NL.
Are you okay with that answer, big guy?
Oh, I think they have a real shot, because I do think something that they lacked in years past was depth. Now, whether your depth is special, like you have depth pieces, they're not going to be special players. I think this team was built to withstand what happens in the summer with players going on the IL, other teams losing key guys. I do think they actually have a lot of really average arms, and I mean that in the most complimentary way possible, right? If someone goes down from their rotation, there is a Adrian Hauser, a David Peterson, a Jose Butto, Christian Scott still in the minors, and I still think we see him again in the majors at some point. Like, I do think that they have a level of depth that will help them withstand the difficulties of a baseball summer. But to me, the key has been this lineup. J.D. Martinez has changed everything since he came around for them. Mark Vientos has been a revelation at third base. He's always crushed Triple-A pitching. He's now finally doing it in the majors. And then Nimmo's getting hot. Marte's been really good all year. They have an incredible record with Francisco Alvarez in the lineup. He just drives in so many key runs late in games for them. And then I think the move that needs to be made is Jose Iglesias, your former Tiger, needs to take over at second base, because Jeff McNeil absolutely stinks.
Speaking of the Tigers, so Adam's Guardians are 8 up in the Central. Adam, I know there's a lot of baseball left. I won't watch another game. That offense is insulting. It really is. It's hard to watch the Detroit Tigers.
It is, and it's a damn shame, because, I mean, you know, their pitching is pretty solid across the board. I mean, Tarik Skubal, of course, goes tonight, and he's been incredible. Rhys Olson's a guy that I like quite a bit. You know, Casey Mize is kind of living up to some of his potential this season. I mean, they've got some dudes that are some pretty good arms there with that team. And, of course, you know, we'll see where Jack Flaherty ends up. But, I mean, they've done a really good job, you know, milking a lot out of him this season. So they've got it figured out on the pitching side, but they can't figure it out on the offensive side yet. And it doesn't help that Kerry Carpenter missed a lot of time, but they got to figure that part of it out.
Let me run this by you then. I ran it by Patrick. I think he was in favor of holding on to Skubal more. I think when you look around baseball, Adam, a lot of these teams build with position players as the anchors, right? That's how you build your team, and you kind of add pitching, find pitching later. Would you consider, if you're the Tigers, trading Skubal, getting a couple hitters to be like the future bats of your lineup to build around, and then worrying about pitching down the road when you have so many other young guys coming up in that system?
So it might be a little bit premature for Detroit to go this route, but I think if you are able to establish yourself as a team that can develop pitching, then I think you're a little bit more open to making this kind of move. And look, yes, Tarik Skubal's been incredible. when he's been healthy. This is a guy who's never thrown 150 innings in a season. And I realize that the dynamic of being a starting pitcher has definitely changed. You're kind of a five and fly guy. So you have to make 30 starts to go 150 innings, that kind of thing. But I think if you can maximize, a lot of teams in this race right now do need starting pitching. If you can maximize and you go to, say, let's say Baltimore.
Yep, that's the team.
And you're like, hey, we want Coby Mayo and we want Heston Kerstad and we want somebody else. We'll give you Tarik Skubal. I think both teams have to strongly consider it.
I agree.
And if you're Detroit, I mean, Tarik Skubal's fantastic, but by the time you're ready to contend, he's 27 now, right? He'll turn 28 the end after the season. By the time you're ready to contend, is he 30, on the wrong side of 30, already approaching free agency, already a free agent? I think if you have the opportunity to spin a guy like this for two top 10 minor league hitters, something like that, and a third piece, I think you really, truly have to consider it. The tough thing is, again, GMs have seven-figure jobs that they want to keep. So if you're going to do this, you got to get it right. And the risk attached to not being able to CYA as much as maybe you want to, you know, then that's something I think makes those types of trades difficult.
Yeah, vibes are high in Detroit. Spencer Turnbull can't hit in the
Torkelson.
Minors.
Torkelson.
Torkelson can't hit in the minors, literally.
I read something about him, too, in the offseason where it was like his power in college apparently came out of nowhere. He was a contact guy, and it was never going to translate wood bat in pro baseball. He was never going to be that power guy he seemed to be at Arizona State.
All right, let's sneak in. We got one play. Let's keep the streak going with Berkey on Sharp Money. Rays, first five, v Seattle.
Yeah, tough one today, honestly. I mean, I was looking through the card. I wasn't finding a whole lot. And then a couple of other things popped up that, you know, I had to divert my attention from baseball to take care of, especially with that NFL guide coming out in 2 days here on Thursday. I like the Rays for the first five against Seattle. This is one where you got home road splits that are really meaningful, I think, for both of these guys. Castillo is not good on the road, hasn't been good on the road in his Mariners tenure. He's extremely good at home. And I think, you know, you pitch differently where you know that you pitch well. On the road, his strikeout percentage is way down. Walk rate is up. All of his numbers are not very good on the road. And for Zach Littell, who's going for the Rays tonight, his road numbers are bad, but his home numbers are quite good. Seattle strikes out a ton. I like the Rays here for the first five, minus 105, and I'll stay the hell away from that Tampa bullpen.
Love it. Well, congratulations on the guide. We've got a big day coming up on Thursday with the release of the guide and all-day programming NFL. VSiN.com managing editor Adam Burke, Double Play baseball podcast as well. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate you.
Thank you, boys. I miss you.
Okay, yeah, have a great month of July, and we appreciate all the hard work you do for us as well. We return. You're going to hear from J.J. Redick next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, check out VSiN.com. We just talked about it with Adam. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by your state, betting tools, and the betting guides. Also, the guide is dropping on Thursday, and the only way to find it is if you become a VSiN Pro, and then you go over to VSiN.com. So check it out. Got you back here, Sharp Money, DraftKings, and VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. So, J.J. Redick, and we've got your family plays coming up here in just a little bit. We've got Aaron Halterman and Stuart Durst, two good ones today. We'll get to those coming up in just a little bit. Okay, so J.J. Redick. So LeBron hired J.J. Redick to coach the Lakers, and we'll get into all of that. I have many thoughts because he had his press conference yesterday. To do this, let's just go ahead and play the clip, and I'll work my thoughts in between the clips because I think that'll work out smoother. So you can hit me with any random order. It can be Palinka. It can be Redick. I have a lot of thoughts on the hiring of J.J. Redick.
Okay. Let's first begin then with Rob. We'll change course here. Rob Palinka won, guys. The very first clip. That's what we'll do. Because J.J. Redick hired, a lot of talk about the role of LeBron and whoever. So Rob Palinka opened yesterday's presser with this to say about making this decision.
From the start, he was in our plan A pool of coaches that we were really interested in exploring. And I think the most important thing is throughout the process, J.J. and I had direct and sort of constant communication to keep each other in the loop with what he was going through with his previous job with the NBA Finals. And I was keeping him abreast of the search. And I think sometimes before a partnership is forged, when you can have real, honest conversations before you actually become partners, it solidifies the relationship. And I think looking back to how transparent we were with one another, even in the midst of stuff going on in the media, I think it actually solidified our confidence and belief in working together.
Okay, yeah. Whatever Pelinka is going to say now, he is the mouthpiece of Jeannie Buss, who is the owner of the Lakers. Whatever he's going to say now, it's business. Business can be nefarious as far as the message. He's not being truthful. And I'm telling you right now, don't listen to anybody who's going to tell you differently. They were trying to take the organization back from LeBron James when they tried to hire Danny Hurley. They got spurned by Hurley. Okay, that's it. I know this. They were trying to take the power back from LeBron James. I'll comment further, but I think you have another Pelinka clip.
Well, let's move to JJ real quick.
Before you do,
yep.
Pelinka at one point referenced that LeBron wasn't involved in the conversation of hiring JJ Redick. Okay. Again, laughable. And beyond, you have that? Because you look like you're about to say yes. Do you have
that
clip?
Just because you mentioned,
I'll give you my thoughts.
Yeah. This is Pelinka on LeBron's role in this process.
He was very supportive of our organization in this process. And that's a different word, and I want to be mindful of the word, than involved. So I would say it again. LeBron was very supportive of us in our process, but chose not to be heavily involved, and we respected that. Anthony Davis, our other captain, chose to be very involved and was very involved. I talked to him throughout the process and got a lot of help and wisdom from him. And he was very excited for today.
Okay, LeBron James is a 39-year-old man with a lot of focus and a lot of concern and care about his legacy. At this point in his career, he has more power in the NBA than anybody else. He was very much involved, and he hired J.J. Redick. And let me just take this a step further. He's a business man. Everything that he does, he has an agency that he owns with his best friend growing up. You watch the shop, that's all particular to the brand. Okay, so this idea that he wouldn't have control when part of his branding, they don't just throw together a podcast like no offense to Double Play, but you know, they're not just throwing out a podcast and picking a couple of donks to talk about exit velo. When LeBron James decides to give his time, which is very valuable, and again, no offense to Double Play, it's a great podcast. My point is, when LeBron sits down with his schedule and says, I'm going to start a podcast, there is a lot that goes into the reasoning and thinking, and it is branding. When he decides that he's going to do the podcast with J.J. Redick, that is a huge decision in the LeBron brand. With J.J. Redick being hired as the Lakers head coach, the podcast no longer exists with the host in J.J. Redick. So the concept that he wouldn't be involved and willy-nilly just allow his podcast to be broken up is beyond the most laughable thing I've heard. Okay, I think we're going to get to Redick.
And Redick said that he is no longer a part of the podcast.
I am, for the time being, and hopefully it's a very, very long time, I am excommunicated from the content space. So there would be no podcast. We'll do something when I have a breather from what we have coming up. I'm going to be drinking out of a fire hose for the next month. But at some point, we'll just do something for all the people that listened, and we'll have a small little video, but I'm done with podcasting for now.
Yeah, he will get his marching orders, just like he'll get his marching orders from LeBron as head coach, and they'll say, the LeBron brand will say, we have to do a farewell show. Now let's get to the clip that everybody's focused on because of the language.
That would be this one, J.J. Redick number 4, where he was asked about dispelling misconceptions about him in this role.
It's a valid question, and I've certainly heard everything. You know, it's been a really interesting 6 weeks or so, just in terms of, you know, being part of the engagement farming industry. You know, it's been really interesting. However, I don't really have a great answer for your question because I really don't give a f- like, honestly, I want to coach the Lakers. I want to coach the team. I don't want to dispel anything. I don't. I want to become a great coach in the NBA, and I want to win championships, and I want my players to maximize their careers. That's all I care about.
Okay, so when you didn't hear, he was saying the F word, and a hardcore F word. So a couple of things. Some of the misconceptions is, I can't believe he's being hired with no coaching experience. Well, first off, he's the sixth coach since 2010 to be hired with no experience. This happens. Happens all the time. That's not a big deal. Secondly, people are focusing too much on the F word, which, if we're being honest, was a little forced, was probably a little too crass, but I don't get worked up or sensitive about people swearing. Here's what I took from it. I immediately, not because of the F word, that was just kind of lame, I immediately became a fan of JJ Redick because it's not about the language, it's about the spirit. And I walked out of that thinking, this is a dude that's taken genuine ownership of becoming an NBA head coach and responsibility of coaching the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, he is going to meet the biggest competitor, both on and off the court, in LeBron James. Because just like any relationship that's starting, LeBron says, this is going to be great, bro. We're going to have so much fun. You're a great basketball mind. LeBron is puppeteering JJ Redick. But he was unafraid in that presser. And that tells me we're going to have fireworks. Because JJ Redick is very much his own man. Always has been, always been opinionated, and always been quite forthright. I think JJ is emotionally intelligent enough to know that LeBron James is using him. Ergo, he used LeBron James to become, hello, the new head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, a top five job in sport. And now JJ played it perfectly, chess, to become the Lakers head coach. He knows LeBron James is going to be 40 years old. He wants to be, as you just heard out of his own mouth, there for a long time. And now LeBron James is about to meet his match. Because you already saw Lakers management and Rob Pelinka try to rip the power. LeBron James knew what Danny Hurley was. They were trying to take the organization back. LeBron said, that didn't work. Now you're going to hire my guy. JJ Redick said, yes, LeBron, I'll do as I'm told. But he's going to get in there and say, dude, you want to be coached or not? And LeBron is going to turn around and say, what just happened? I thought you were my plant. So again, yes, he swore. Was it forced? Yes. Was it crass? Yes. But the spirit of what he was saying told me that JJ Redick is a fighter. And LeBron James is a bully and very passive. The one thing you have to do with bullies is push back. And this year, from a drama perspective, because they're not going to be worth anything on the court unless major changes are made. From a drama perspective, somebody is steadfast and as sure of himself as JJ Redick, that was playing the same game as LeBron, is going to be a fascinating match for LeBron James. So get your popcorn, because it's about to get very interesting. Again, don't focus on the swear words. Crass, little forced. It was the spirit with which he spoke. When we return, we've got your family vids, the big guy with a three-teamer. You know, pick three of those guys, and they don't record a win. Double play podcast. Download it. And I just wanted to say goodbye to Adam. I didn't get a chance. He had taken off his headset. So, Adam, thank you for all the hard work you've done for us.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, of course, we've got NFL training camp starting in less than a month. The VSiN experts have been hard at work to get you ready for the upcoming NFL season. Our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide drops this Thursday. It's packed with everything you need to dominate this NFL season. We've got in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary trends. You're not going to find anywhere else, but it's not just that. Our experts have weighed in with their best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. So whether you're a season bettor or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets.
And to celebrate the release of the guide, VSiN is going all out and all in with a special coverage throughout the day this Thursday. So tune in for expert analysis, insider tips, and all the NFL insight you need to start the season strong. Remember, the only way to get our all-new NFL betting guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. So visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today.
If our guide is half as long as the read, he's got a lot of content.
The guide is tremendous. We welcome you back. Sharp Money, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Just to clear a couple of things up when I was talking about Reddick, sometimes in life it's about scale. The big guy thought I was being sarcastic, and I said, it's not, you know, the only podcast I could think of when I was talking about LeBron James, which is this, like, brand that's bigger than anything because of who he is. We had just talked about the Double Play podcast, which I subscribe to. I think it's tremendous. My point was I was trying to bring scale into perspective. So, obviously, you know, baseball fans across the country would be crestfallen if DraftKings decided not to continue with Double Play. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the decision that goes into doing the podcast with J.J. Redick for LeBron James's brand is a, I guess I would say, a bigger decision, sure. Not that their podcast is better.
A couple notes. Apparently the market of St. Louis would like it if it no longer existed. I got a lot of hate mail that Burke and I have ignored the St. Louis Cardinals and their run over the last 2 weeks. A bunch of people from St. Louis have reached out to me, Instagram and Twitter. You know what you got to do to find me on Instagram? And to reach out, let me know that we are doing a horrible job ignoring the Cardinals. So apparently that's something we got to clean up. Secondly, the J.J. Redick answer with the curses. My favorite part about that is it was an opportunity where he could have shown weakness by being defensive. He could have tried to make sense of the hiring, put on his analyst hat that he's done for a few years. He could have tried to justify why he's ready to be a head coach. And he just kind of said, no, we're just going to let this happen. You're going to see who I am as a head coach. And that, to me, lets me know how serious and ready he is for this responsibility.
There you go, big guy. There you go. So you haven't been talking enough St. Louis Cardinals baseball?
In fairness, I don't find them to be very fun, even though I have a World Series bet on them from, like, back in January. I don't find them to be fun, but I do think they are postseason bound here. I think they're built for the regular season. But, yeah, Cardinals fans not happy we're ignoring them and talking about Paul Skeens. Like,
it's a great baseball city. You may want to think about it. You didn't mess up and ask him about the Buffalo Sabres like I did you?
No. Alex McGillney references. No. Pat LaFontaine. That's all I got.
Let's get to our family vids, give you some plays today. Dustin Sweetelson, we're going to start with Aaron Halterman.
Yeah, the part of the founding family here on Sharp Money, Aaron Halterman, RacingDudes.com, Due to Bet Sports Podcast. And now that hockey's in the rearview, it's all baseball from the Plus Money Prince. What's he doing tonight? Well, here he is with his family play for today.
Sharp Money, family play.
What is up, Sharp Money? Back for a Tuesday here, man. Does it feel good to wake up a champion? The Florida Panthers get it done last night for the family, for America, for Patrick, for me, for Samich, even for the big guy, for Dustin. So, all right. But listen, champions have to move on. We're champions for a reason. We got to move on. We got to find more things to do and more things to bet. And we're going to go Arizona Diamondbacks +105 today as they're at home taking on the Minnesota Twins. Look, the Twins having another nice season. And it seems like that's just what they do, right? They just come out and they don't really outflash you, so to speak, but they just are a team that at the end of the day, you look up and it's like, wow, they're in the playoffs again. But I think Arizona's a better team than Minnesota. I think when things are all said and done this season, we're going to say Arizona was a better team than Minnesota. So kind of an even pitching matchup. You get them at a plus price today talking about the Diamondbacks. So I just think at home, plus money, the Diamondbacks seem like the most logical play today in the MLB. So I'm going to go Arizona Diamondbacks +105 for my best bet of the day.
Okay, RacingDudes.com, part of the family, and that is just, he is the best. That's a great video, kind of wrapped up what we've been going through for 2 months, and then gave you a plus money winner tonight in the snakes.
And then our Mount Rushmore here. Of us looking down proudly at our American Stanley Cup champion, Florida Panthers. I think it's very important to emphasize, America has the cup once again.
Yeah, look at that. Mount Rushmore, you got myself, you got Samich, you got the big guy, and you have Aaron Halterman. That's the squad.
So wait,
And those are goals.
You're a historian. Do you think you can name which president each one of our heads is on off the top of your head?
Oh, that is a tremendous question, Dustin. I don't, and I should know this because I did go with, Jeezy the dog. I did go with her to Mount Rushmore when I drove across country. Very touristy.
Sure.
Obviously. From left to right,
okay.
I'll give it a shot if you don't mind.
Yeah, let's go.
I'll say George Washington.
That feels right.
I'll say Teddy. I'll say TJ. And then I'll say, who am I forgetting? Abraham Lincoln.
You flip the middle two.
Oh, it's Lincoln, then TJ.
No, it's TJ, then. No, wait, hey, it's Washington, TJ, Roosevelt, Lincoln.
Yeah, I botched it.
So you're GW, I'm Lincoln. No, I'm not. Wait, I'm Teddy. I'm Teddy. Aaron is Lincoln.
You ever been to the Mount Rushmore?
I have not been to the middle of the country very often. I've been to
Omaha. You should give it a go.
Been to Omaha.
Somewhere in the middle of America.
Alabama's kind of the middle. Oh, I guess it touched the Gulf at the bottom. I've not done a lot of the middle states. I have not.
You give it a whirl, Dustin.
I will.
You really enjoy it. I will. It's a great part of the country.
Even though you ran away from it. Stuart Durst, at Monotone Football 1L on X/Twitter. And he's going to go with a player prop for us in baseball with his Sharp Money family play for today.
What's up, Sharp Money family? Stuart Durst at Monotone Football here, and today's best bet is going to be Mackenzie Gore under 2.5 earned runs allowed at -145, but the juice is worth the squeeze here. Gore is under this number already in 11-15. He's having a phenomenal season, but when we look at the Padres, there's a stark difference between how they're hitting lefties and righties. On the season, 275 against right-handed pitching. That drops down to 228 against lefties. Now Tatis is on the IL. They're not at their strength. Look, we just saw Patrick Corbin go 7 innings against them last night. Now they get a much tougher opponent in Mackenzie Gore. Guess what? 19 of the last 23 left-handed starting pitchers have held the Padres to under 2.5 earned runs. And once again, that's talking about the likes of Patrick Corbin. Only 4 misses in that span. I think Mackenzie Gore, highly motivated, facing his former team, gets the job tonight and looks fantastic doing it.
Big fan of that kid. He's got a bright future. He is Stuart Durst, and you can find him.
What's
at
up,
Monotone
Sharp Money
Football
family?
Stuart Durst at Monotone Football. That is Stuart Durst. Does an awesome job. I can't wait to see what he's looking at futures wise. He's a really sharp guy.
Absolutely. Anything else from the big guy before we get out of here?
I have 3 plays. We're going to go Braves money line, Phillies money line. The third one available VSiN.com/picks.
Word. Let's close some tabs.
Okay. So Mike Randall was on earlier, and he called one of the prospects in this draft a Weeble. And I was like, what is a Weeble? Weeble,
I didn't know that either.
Was a roly-poly toy that was introduced in 1971 by Hasbro. They're egg-shaped, so tipping one causes a weight located at the bottom center to be raised. The phrase was, I remember this, Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Well, one thing, I knew Randall was clowning. I just didn't, that's a good job getting that information because I knew he was clowning.
I think you and Randall are around the same age, but he feels 20 years older.
Yeah, man, we're close. He's the best. I love Randall.
All right. I have to call JJ Redick out for something that he said. He said, quote, I'm going to be drinking from a fire hose. No, you're not. It's literally not possible. It's dangerous. It's ineffective. Fire hoses release large amounts of water very quickly. In fact, the nozzle lets out a velocity of 30 miles per hour. You will knock all those teeth out of your dome.
Unsustainable, big guy. 100%.
Next. On this day in 1986, George Armstrong Custer made his last stand with the 7th Cavalry at the Battle of the Little Bighorn.
Hey, how about that? Anything else?
In 1942, Dwight D. Eisenhower took command of the U.S. forces in Europe. And we wiped Germany away.
Double Play is the podcast. I encourage you to sign up. Good job, big guy. Adam Burke, thank you for joining. Smile. Mike Randall, thank you for joining. And Jonathan Von Tobel's coming up next with VSiN Primetime. What a hell of a show. Shout to the Panthers and the family. We'll see you tomorrow. Sharp Money.